Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Saturday, August 30th, 2008. The only Saturday, August 30th, 2008 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this special edition of Glenn Klein Online on this particular Saturday. We are happy to have you wherever you are logging in from. And we want to welcome online our special guest, the play-by-play man of the first place Tampa Bay Rays, Mr. Dwayne Statz. Dwayne!
Glenn, how are you?
I am doing wonderfully, my friend. Thank you for caring enough to ask. And what an appropriate moment to have you revisit this webcast as the Rays just finished with a come-from-behind 10-9 walk-off victory against the Baltimore Orioles at Tropicana Field. And you kind of had the day off because the game was televised nationally and regionally on Fox. But they kept you pretty busy today. I saw you on Channel 13, and you did a little bit of radio. And it's different doing radio than it is television, isn't it?
Yeah, they're actually making me work. I'm not sure what that's all about, but we did. We had a full day and a good day, and we started the day with Chip Carter over on Channel 13 and their pregame programming on the Fox affiliate here, and wound up in the radio booth, and the Rays wound up with another win in what has been just an unbelievable season. Everybody thought this club was going to be better, but who knew they'd be 32 games over 500 here at the end of August.
Well, you know, we have spoken many times on the radio show and the webcast and off air as well about what this team would need to do to compete. And I remember you and I speaking during spring training this year, and we talked about what the ball club would have to do eventually to compete for a wild card. And the beautiful humans that listened to this webcast on a regular basis know what a big baseball fan I am. And folks within the sports world and that follow baseball, Dwayne, I don't think are really aware of the historical nature of this season. This has never happened before in Major League Baseball. The team with the worst record being in first place this late in the season has never happened before. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it really is an incredible story. In fact, I'm sure by the time the season's over, there will be a number of markers that will be broken. You know, this team at one point not only had the best record in the American League, but the best record in Major League Baseball. And to go from the worst record to the best record on that particular date and this late into the season had never been done in the 20th century or the 21st century. They had to go back to the Louisville Colonels of the National League in 1890 to even have that occur. So to have this team turn this around this way is just unbelievable.
Now, I know you've been broadcasting Major League Baseball for a long time, but I don't even think you remember that particular season back in the 1800s.
Yeah, and thank you for that, for giving me that at least.
Well, 32 years, beautiful humans. Dwayne Statz has been broadcasting Major League Baseball with the Houston Astros and the Chicago Cubs, the New York Yankees for ESPN, and now for the Tampa Bay Rays. Dwayne, when Stu Sternberg bought this ball club and you and I spoke about their strategic plan for this team, you commented to me that they had a plan and that they basically had adopted the same blueprint for success in Major League Baseball that he had adopted in his other businesses. And obviously it has worked unbelievably well, almost miraculously well. But you being so up close and personal with it, what do you think the key has been to turning the thing around so dramatically and so quickly?
Well, you know, the first thing they did, they took a ship without a rudder and put one in place. They gave this franchise a certain equilibrium that it did not have before. And once they steadied the waters a little bit, they went to work thinking long term and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 steps down the road to try to put in place the necessary elements for success. And I really believe, in fact, Stu Sternberg said before the season started that he thought it would be another year before they turned the corner. And to Joe Maddon, the Rays manager, to his credit, he said he stuck his neck out a little bit and said he thought they could turn the corner this year. I'm not sure even Joe Maddon thought that they could do what they've done and be 83 and 51 right now. But they put some things in place. They implemented a game plan. They knew to have a good organization, you had to collect as many arms as you could, and you had to do everything you can do to protect those arms in terms of defense behind them. And I think a combination of Andrew Friedman and the baseball office, the executive VP there, and bringing in Jerry Hunsicker from Houston as the senior VP of baseball, they knew that they had a big job in front of them, that it might take some time, but they also knew of the pieces they had to collect. They just had to go out and collect them as they became available, and one by one they've done that. They've also put into place, anticipating that they would not always have the number one pick in the draft, they've put into place mechanisms and so that they can keep young talent coming into the system by opening academies in the Dominican Republic and developing a talent flow from Venezuela and actually in other areas of South America as well. So they've stabilized it and figured out how to get talent into the player development pipeline. And what we've seen here, we've seen some responsible fiscal approach to building a club and very careful analysis of the pieces they've added. You could say Dan Wheeler, you could say Troy Percival.
All right, well, let's say Dan Wheeler, shall we? Who many of the beautiful humans that follow this webcast know that is your son-in-law. And you mentioned in the interview, the aforementioned interview with Chip Carter this afternoon, that was really the first piece that they made the move last year. Because, as you pointed out to Chip, that if you needed to make 6 moves, why not make 1 last year? And obviously you're not objective about this because Dan, who, by the way, got the victory today, ladies and gentlemen, as the Rays won, as Carlos Pena scored on a Rocco Baldelli hit in walk-off fashion in the bottom of the ninth, 10-9 against the Orioles. But Dan was that first piece, and the difference in this team, they're not scoring, they're actually scoring less runs per game than they did last year, but the difference between the pitching and the infield defense is dramatic.
And that's really, I think, their formula for success, because they have pitchers in the bullpen who can make pitches, and it's a great variety of pitchers from Wheeler to the latest addition, I guess, would be Chad Bradford, Grant Balfour, who has a great arm, and Trevor Miller.
What a difference!
J.C. Howell has been great.
What a difference in the attitude in the clubhouse. You mentioned Troy Percival, but the difference between guys like Percival and Cliff Floyd coming in there, and you talk about the stabilization and the sense of professionalism, the difficulties that B.J. Upton has had recently, those would have been tolerated in the past. Those would have been acceptable, and now you've got the positive peer pressure of professionalism and of excellence being manifested in that clubhouse, and the result is being seen on the field every single night.
Yeah, there's a greater sense of expectation, I think, that started in the spring. Each player, instead of hope, there is expectation. Expectation is better than hope because, it presupposes that you already have hope and now you expect to do something with it.
Right.
And that's where this club is right now. So, I got that feeling from the time, I think I mentioned earlier, that from the time pitchers and catchers reported this spring, there was that feeling, and it's largely because of the presence of some veteran players who've been there before and the continued development of some very good young talent. And I think we've really seen that in the starting rotation, all along. You know, they have five guys who won in double figures now, and the addition of those veterans and the trade they made with Minnesota to get Bartlett in here to play shortstop, who really stabilized the inner defense.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, here comes Evan Longoria, 22 years old, who has the presence of a 10-year veteran.
Yes.
And I attribute that to a lot of things, having met his parents. You can understand how that happened. And also, Evan Longoria, coming out of high school, no one drafted him. He had to, he had to grow and develop his talent, went to junior college and did that, wound up then later in Long Beach and became the top pick. And here he is at 22, just a valuable part of this ball club.
This is Glenn Klein Online. We're talking with Dwayne Stats of the Tampa Bay Rays, the voice of the first place Eastern Division leading American League top team, Tampa Bay Rays. I could pinch myself, and I wouldn't believe that it was still real. We're talking with Dwayne from Tropicana Field. His son-in-law, Dan Wheeler, was the winning pitcher. He was a pitcher of record. He had his good stuff today, but Nick Markakis just came up and jacked one in the top of the ninth. And then the Rays, one thing about this ball club, my brother, is that you always have a sense they are never out of the game.
They do have a great sense of themselves, I think, on the field. And, you know, that carries over from game to game and really moment to moment. You know, if they lose a tough game or if they win a great victory, they enjoy it or suffer through it for, you know, a period of maybe an hour after the game, and then they go about their business. And even this game today was a pretty good example back and forth where, you know, they got down, they grabbed the lead, they fell behind again, back and forth, and then they finally grabbed the lead, and then Markakis hit that home run with two outs in the ninth, and you think, oh, my goodness.
Right.
Well, now you got to gather yourself and get the next guy and come in the bottom of the ninth and go about it. And what a great combination of Carlos Pena and Rocco Baldelli to provide this victory. Pena is as dedicated and hardworking as any player I've been around. I'll tell you, through the years, I've been around some pretty good ones in terms of dedication, going back to the Nolan Ryan days in Houston and Don Mattingly in New York and in between Andre Dawson in Chicago with the Cubs.
Right.
But nobody plays the game harder than Pena.
Well,
then to have Rocco Baldelli come back and come up with the game-winning hit is just just wonderful.
Well, you got to be just absolutely thrilled for Rocco. But you mentioned Carlos Pena. And if there's something that has distinguished this team from most teams that are competing at such an excellent level in baseball, is that you do not have a superstar on this entire squad. And Carlos Pena was the one that called Joe Maddon in the offseason and recommended Willie Ibar to Joe Maddon. Obviously, Carlos had a tremendous amount of credibility coming off the season that he had. And the Rays signed Ibar, and what a tremendous job that he has done at the hot corner for the Rays as Evan Longoria has been on the disabled list.
Yeah, and it's a great thing to have someone... number one, Carlos Pena, aside from what he does on the field, you would want him as your friend or your family member. And that's the kind of credibility that he brought to Joe Maddon with that comment.
Right.
And to get a recommendation from him is very big. And so Ibar, who has had some problems in his past, but Pena knew him beyond those and has a pretty good way of evaluating what's in a person's heart and their ability to dedicate themselves to a cause. And as a result of that, the Rays have a guy who's played third base for 3 weeks now in the absence of Evan Longoria, has had big hits and has made big plays, and he's another big reason why this team is in first place. The same way that the acquisition of Gabe Gross.
Yes.
A lot of people could overlook that.
Or how about Eric Hinsky has been tremendous acquisition for the Rays.
And Hinsky's another one of those guys, like Wheeler and a couple other guys who've been in the postseason Hinsky has a championship ring, and from the first day of spring training, had professional at-bats, has played the game hard, and he's given it everything he has, and has set a great example. I think when you look at this lineup, and it's, I said earlier in the day, it's not the 27 Yankees, but they have a lineup that consistently gets good at-bats
right.
most of the time from top to bottom. And people like Hinsky set that tone.
But they are playing such a sound fundamental baseball, but the Rays have also stepped out of the box and have a what's the guy's name who's coaching from the press box?
Tim Booger.
Yes. And
Tim Booger.
Yeah, and he's the kind of their quality control guy. I mean, that's and who has an assistant pitching coach? I mean, I really give Joe Maddon a lot of credit because here's a guy that has been with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim for over 30 years and could have been set in his ways, but came over here and keeps on expanding the team's ability to compete by being innovative. And it's a beautiful thing. Just a couple more questions, Duane, as we wrap it up on this edition of Glenn Klein Online. Last week, the Rays were on national television against the White Sox. And you were broadcasting the game that weekend when AJ Pruszynski stuck out his elbow at the aforementioned Willie Ibar, and the umpires, even after getting together discussing, called Willie Ibar for interference, gave Pruszynski third base when he should have been called out in the pickle that he was in even before they tagged him. And I have, you know, if there's anything that describes you, it would be consummate professional. And I thought you and McGrain were going to come out of the booth. You were so upset. That was one of the worst calls I've seen in watching Major League Baseball for 40 years. Now Major League Baseball has brought in instant replay for the controversial home run. But based on situations like we saw in that White Sox game with the Rays, what is your general sense about incorporating instant replay in the overall game, not just on fair or foul balls or potential home runs?
Well, my general reaction to that has been to resist instant replay. I love the game for what it is and the way it's played, but the Rays went through a period of 5 days, and I saw two of the worst calls I've ever seen in 32 years broadcasting Major League Baseball. There's certainly those two would be in the top three or bottom three, depending on how you would want to reference it. And I was upset by those because I really feel that that call that you referenced on AJ Pruszynski in Chicago, they had an opportunity to get together. It wasn't a call that was made on the spur of the moment, like a close call at first. And you know, we're all human. We're all imperfect, and we all make mistakes.
Right.
But I thought there was, in that rundown, there was a sense of deliberation. And I think an umpire has to be very careful to call, to know for sure that he sees something before he's going to call it. Well, in that situation, it's very evident that Eddings could have actually been screened by his position. Therefore, logically, he could not make that call. To his credit, and I respect him a great deal, the other day he came out and upon reviewing a replay and discussing that with Mike Ford of Major League Baseball, they both came out and admitted that that the play should not have been called the way it was and that Eddings made a mistake. And I respect him for that. I think, you know, we all need to be responsible for our actions and admit when we're wrong, and he did.
Right. Well,
having said that, I did say at one point, after what I've seen here in 5 days with these two terrible calls, perhaps they should expand the idea of replays beyond just boundary issues. I'm probably going to waver on that a little bit. But I'll tell you, you get caught in those situations, and you certainly wish you did have a replay. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how this boundary issue goes and home run calls and this and that. What I hope is that it does not become drawn out For 2.5 minutes.
Right, which of course is never going to happen because we see what happens in the NFL replays. But better to get the call right. But I like today when I forget who it was for the Orioles hit that ground rule double that one of the Rays fans stuck out his glove, and they immediately made the right call. It was not a home run. He reached over the wall to touch
exactly.
it. And they did not go to replay. So clearly, based on the increased popularity of pro football with the instant replay, better to get the call right. There's so much at stake now for fans who are committed to investing their hard-earned money for increasingly expensive seats. And this is big business at this point, and we're both emotionally and financially invested in it. So I'd like to see them figure out a way to increase the opportunity to use instant replay. I, like you, love the human element of it, and that's why I love sports, and because you can learn so much about life from athletics. And I would be remiss, Dwayne, not to come back to your relationship with your son-in-law. Give the beautiful humans an idea of what happens emotionally to you when he's on the hill.
Well, you know, they say of I have heard that and the difference between the sexes that men can compartmentalize things easier than women, and that may or may not be true, but I think there's some of that goes on, but you can never completely do that. I actually last year when Dan was traded over here, picked him up at the airport, and on our ride back in, we both agreed that he would do his job and I would do mine, and we'd just let it fall where it fell. Having said that, you know, I try to remain inside that professional element when he's in there, but there is no question that there's a personal side of that, and there is always, I guess, that nervous energy in me when he is in there, because he is, after all, family and the father of my two grandsons and the husband of my daughter, and so there's always a lot at stake there, and you want them all to do well. So it's a unique situation, and to my knowledge, the only one in the history of this game that has been exactly like this.
Yes, I was going to say it's another very unique situation. We obviously have had family members playing on the same team, but to have a reporter and a broadcaster who is trying to be as even-handed as possible, relatively speaking. I mean, obviously you and Joe are pulling for the Rays, but you are no Hawk Harrelson or DJ Johnson, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you guys play it straight, and yet your heart rate and the anxiety level must increase exponentially when your son-in-law goes on the bump for the Rays.
Well, it does, and just like today, we rejoiced when he got those two strikeouts.
Right.
But with each hitter, you know, there's potential danger there, and Markakis has been a very hot hitter. And Dan missed the location with a fastball, and Markakis made him pay. But then the next element is you've got to regroup and get the next hitter and keep the damage to a minimum. And that's another thing that not only Dan did today, but this entire pitching staff has been very good at, and we've seen a lot of growth in the young pitchers. I think of Edwin Jackson, who a year ago would let an inning get away from him, and he's done that very few times this year. He's kept the cap on dangerous situations, and that's another reason that this club has been so successful to this point.
Well, you know, we talk about what the reason was for the dramatic turnaround, but at the end of the day, speaking about being remiss, I would be remiss if I did not mention that it was the year that the Tampa Bay Devil Rays exercised the devil from their name that I had been a proponent of before the first pitch of this Major League franchise. And you know that's true, my friend.
Yes, and I will be the first guy to say that was absolutely true.
At the year they exercised the devil and brought in really nice, sweet-looking Major League uniforms, That was the year that things turned around for the Tampa Bay Rays, and we could not be happier personally for you and Carla and for the entire Stats family. You know, and I've said for years, Dwayne, as you were on the radio show and the webcast, that if the Rays ever caught up to the professionalism of which their television broadcaster conducted his career, that we would be very competitive. Well, I've lived to see the day. And boy, it is a lot of fun. So we got this. We got this tough series of up series coming up with the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Twins. Do you think is your gut feeling that we're going to come out of it right in the thick of things after all is said and done at the end of this, September?
I really do. I have to say you're very kind and bless your heart for those comments. But I do. I think this club, because it is a sound defensive club with good pitching, will be in games almost every day and every night, and as a result of that, they're going to win their share, and they're really at a point now where even if they play 500 or a few games under 500, they should be in good shape, and I think their talent will allow them to be in enough games so that they will at the very least do that, which should put them in the postseason. Having said that, they're not going to back into this thing. They're going to have to go out and win it because the schedule is tough. They have, of their remaining home games, one against Baltimore, and then they have three against New York, and they have three against Boston, and they have four against Minnesota. And that series, you know, will be a very hard-fought series because the Twins play baseball like the Rays have played it. They
yes,
play
they
it correctly, and so... they do have, of the remaining games at home, a very tough schedule.
Well, we're going to be out there on September 21st and look forward to seeing you and everybody out at the Trop. And we are going to get a new stadium. There is no doubt. Obviously, the local fan base has caught a lot of grief recently nationally for the lack of turnout. But that's a tough spot for people to get to from so many areas. And are you still real confident that the Rays are going to, at the end of the day, get a new ballpark that is state-of-the-art?
I am. I think it may not be as soon as ownership had originally proposed, but I think it makes a lot of sense that the ball club backed off a little bit and put it in the hands of the local politicians, excuse me, in St. Petersburg and in Pinellas County and in the greater Tampa Bay area. I think that's a good move because it's more directly handled by community input that way. And frankly, may put a little more pressure on local politicians to actually move on something and get something done. It will not happen as quickly as the Rays had hoped. You know, they had hoped to have something on the ballot this coming November. Well, obviously that's not going to happen. And I would think that there may be at least a year delay on it, but I think eventually it'll happen, and we will have a signature piece here for the community. I think that's important, whether it's an opera house. Frank DeFord made this point at an appearance in St. Petersburg last year at the USF when someone asked him that question, and he said a stadium helps define a community.
Yes.
The same way an opera house or any public building, a performing arts building, a museum, it's the same thing. And so it's not out of the ordinary and not out of the question that there should be public participation in the building and financing of that, as well as private participation.
Well, enjoy the evening and the celebration of the big victory. Thank you so much for taking the time after a very full day. Please give Carla our love, and we will catch up with you soon. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it, Dwayne.
It's always my pleasure to be with you and not only answer your questions, but to hear what you have on your mind. Thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy. That's Dwayne Stats, ladies and gentlemen, the play-by-play man, the voice of the Tampa Bay Rays. What a tremendous, beautiful human in his own right, and what a blessing he has been to me personally. And you talk about an opera house or a stadium being a signature feature of a community. The voice and the intellect and the professionalism, Dwayne Stats, representing the Tampa Bay region is a true blessing for our area. I want to thank Sean O'Halloran for producing and engineering this broadcast, and we will talk to you soon. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!